day three since those lockdown measures of the last, well, a few weeks, seems a lot longer than a few weeks, doesn't it? We're relaxed. Maybe it doesn't feel like it's changed too much, but I don't know whether you're feeling a little happier, a little bit more relieved, or you feel as though we're moving now. There's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but there will be those who find it hard to adjust, and you'll probably find yourself worrying more about things than you did before. That's normal. That's human nature. It just affects people in different ways. But it is going to be tricky because we're all different. There's no one size fits all. Some of us are feeling positive. Some of the tension and anxiety has just started to lift a bit more. But it may take a lot longer for others, you know, especially when you're watching the news and reading the news headlines that we've all seen over recent weeks. Professor Kevin Mortimer is a reader in respiratory medicine at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine and joins me now. Hi, Kevin. Morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing, more to the point? How's it been?
As you were mentioning, I've as well as my role at the School of Tropical Medicine, I have the privilege of being a doctor and working at one of our local hospitals, Aintree University Hospital. And I was looking after patients on one of the wonderful wards there, Ward 23, where from before COVID arrived to that horrible time when it was all coming, but we didn't know what it would be like. Then as it came, and then as it almost as quickly as it arrived, started to thankfully go. And there's now been many weeks of this horrible disease somewhat petering out. And I think the message of hope that you are just giving is absolutely right. We've, of course, been looking after some of the most poorly people who needed to be admitted to hospital. We've had lots and lots of success through the concerted efforts of, you know, a huge teams of people putting huge amounts of effort into just trying to get people better and do the best that we can for people.
I'm glad you said that, because we know not everybody came through. We know not everybody made it. But for those people that did, you know what always made me smile in the early days? And it was, we saw it a few times, a few people being kind of wheeled out. They were fine. They were going to be fine, and they were being wheeled out. But they wanted to give a high five as they were going in the wheelchair. But obviously, you know, the social distancing, you didn't. So they just kind of just put their hands up in the air. But it was little moments like that gave us hope. How did you manage to get through it yourselves with your colleagues? Is there that kind of that humour that helped you through?
I think a lot of humour, actually drawing a lot of joy, really, from those moments of success, of which there have been many, and those moments of absolute joy as we watch those patients leave the ward to go and continue their recovery back in the community. We've had a really wonderful spirit of people coming together and just really making the best of this. And being really brave. I mean, it's been so really, I suppose, heartwarming, really touching to be able to work with so many people who really have had to just face risks that we wouldn't normally take in our day-to-day lives as porters, as people working in the kitchens, as people providing the healthcare to patients. And that's been something that's, of course, been very, very unusual, very, very difficult. But I feel very proud to have been able to be part of that and really to have so much success with so many people.
I know you feel proud, but do you feel that from the nation as well? I mean, last night, 8 o'clock, you know, people banging pots and pans and blowing whistles and dogs barking and people dancing in the street and playing bagpipes. You know, it's for you guys.
Well, there's a really wonderful spirit of support, and I think we most definitely hear that. But on this on the other side, as somebody who's been working in the NHS, actually, I feel greatly for the people out there, the general population, who in many ways have had it a lot tougher than somebody like me, because of course I've been able to get into work, I've been able to take some satisfaction and draw courage, I suppose, from the opportunities I've had to try and make a difference on a day-to-day basis. But many people out there in the community have been in really, really difficult situations, facing all sorts of anxiety, the jobs at risk. And actually, I think there's a really, whilst personally I greatly appreciate those kinds of sentiments, actually, I think we need to make sure that we're looking out for everyone. And there's some people in much greater need out there as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because the mental health side of things as well. You know, we are slowly but surely coming through this, and it's really, really, really important that we just stick to these social distancing guidelines. We have to do this now, you know, because we've come so far. But when we turn that next page and we say, right, well, there's coronavirus, it's not completely gone away, but we think or we feel as though we're in charge of it now. And the next thing is, well, I've got no job, or, you know, my life has changed in this way. That's when the stress and the worry starts to kick in, and we need to look after those people.
We absolutely do. And I think we've really seen the spirit of people coming together and looking out for each other, despite the fact that we've all had to stay quite so distant from each other. And I think those two issues for me are really big concerns. I suppose it's the health and well-being of the general population once this is blown over, and it's the employment and economic prospects and the educational opportunities that we need to make sure that we catch up for all of the little people who have also been so desperately brave through all of this and have missed out on getting into school and being with their friends.
And of course, it needs to be safe for everybody before that can happen. Of course, that's paramount, isn't it?
No, exactly. And I think that's what's been so very, very painful throughout all of this is the levels of sacrifice that people have made right across the board.
Kevin, can I just finish with you, just on a personal level as well? You know, we as just ordinary members of the public, we look to you and your colleagues and what you do. We always look to you for answers, but sometimes, you know, there are no answers, or you don't have the answers, but we hold you and your colleagues in such high esteem that we expect you to have it. When you don't have those answers and you go home at night and you kick your shoes off and you've had a tough day, How do you deal with that? That must be tough for you, just on a human level.
You're absolutely right. I think that I'm very lucky to have a wonderful 7-year-old daughter who provides wonderful distraction and things like the ordinary stuff of making her dinner and doing bedtime with her. Those are the kind of things that, from a personal level, make
get you through it. Yeah. Well, it's the real stuff in life, isn't it? You can't put a price on that. You can't buy it. You can't buy the real stuff in life. Kevin, thank you very much indeed for everything you do and your colleagues as well. And thanks for coming on the programme this morning. Hope you have not a completely stress-free Friday, but a lesser stressed Friday than the recent ones. Thanks again.
Thank you. Take care now. Bye.
Bye-bye. They are. See, we do, though, don't we, Kat? We say, well, you're a doctor, or you're a professional person, and, you know, I'm just an ordinary member of the public, so what's the answer? And sometimes you haven't got it.
No.
Sometimes you haven't got the answer.
And the experts, you know, they can't know everything, can they? They're doing an amazing job. Mm. But it's so nice. Aren't we lucky when you think of all the people on the programme that we've spoken to that are such pioneers in these... You know, in these fields, on the doorstep.
Yeah, absolutely on the doorstep. But before all this, I mean, I was blown away by Sci-Fry, because we used to do Sci-Fry every Friday in School of Tropical Medicine. Well, we invented this and we did that and we worked on that saved 2 million lives in Gambia. I'm going, what, up on London Road?
I know. By TJs.
You've done all this by TJs. You're absolutely right. So, you know, I just hope that we don't have short memories about this, and as we come out of it and as we get back to some kind of normality, I just generally that we just don't have short memories about what's going on.
But quite right.
Right, anyway, we're opening the